No, really. What are friends for? Friends are for reflection. They're for gratitude. They're for a grand finale on top of a ridiculous year. Hi, Gabrielle. Welcome to the grand finale of What Are Friends For?
Thank you, Paula V. I am so glad that not only am I a part of the show, that I am a part of the grand finale, and also that I'm your best friend.
Yes. You know, I think, you know, what we wanted for this episode was for reflection, because not only was it a challenge to do this whole show during a pandemic virtually, but also we grew a lot. And so it's a time for celebration and celebrating what we did right and what we did well and what went well and what felt good, you know?
And what we, and also what we like grinded and hustled for, because we did a lot of that working together for the first time. I have to say, like, it wasn't in a small way. And I love that. Like, we were like, are we going to work together? Okay. And then we did it all. Like, we went full throttle. So yeah. I'm also proud of that. But what a year, huh? That we decided to partner in this
year. Yeah, for sure. But honestly, I couldn't think of anybody who could, I've told you this before, you know, there's a time and a place to ask a friend in particular to work with you, to go into business with you. It's like getting into bed in different ways. That is like, it can be very controversial, because we have different ways of doing things, but I honestly mean it. Like, there, I waited for the right thing, and I'm so glad this has turned out the way that I would hope it did, because I have no doubt that, like, when we're friends, and when we're working, and that's a great feeling.
I have a question for you. Is there anything about working with me that you didn't know before you started, or that you were wrong about?
That I was wrong about.
No, or maybe something that surprised you that you didn't expect.
I don't know that I was caught off guard by anything, but I think if you would double down on like your very specific, like your visual tendencies for things, like you're very visual, right? So like when you would nitpick certain things, I'd be like, oh yep, this is very much her thing, and I wouldn't take it personally, right? Like, and I don't take it personally, because I'm more about efficiency and like processes and like getting things out the door and communication going at a certain way, and you're very visual. And mm-hmm. So when you would say, can we change this because I wanted to communicate this, it wasn't, I made sure to like not take that as a criticism on my work. It's just what you prefer.
Right. And we're talking about details like I need to change out the headshot for the one press relief, because we want, our dream is to get on Hollywood Reporter's like vibe. And I was like, we have to put a Hollywood Reporter background that I did for one press that I was actually able to go for Hollywood Reporter with during Crazy X. And I paid for a publicist to do it. We're going to use the photo.
Right. Well, and it's not just that. I think it's like, you know, the fact that you sort of just naturally walked into the leadership position as far as the social media, like the Instagram grid, was completely fine with me, because I knew from building the show from the ground up that like the reason why we weren't able to grow in the way that I wanted to is because the manpower wasn't there. And my bandwidth can only go so far. And I don't think, and actually like, that's probably a great thing for anybody to hear, because like your bandwidth can only take you so far. You can't actually do it all.
You cannot do it all. I love to delegate.
Right.
I love to lift other people up in their work. I love to encourage them. I love to mentor. And I also love to not have all the power. You know what I mean? And that does, and just so all of our listeners and viewers know that we are definitely not only talking about Paula B and myself, we are talking about our entire growth of a huge ass, badass, amazing women-led podcast of producers to supervising producers, co-producers, creators, and production assistants. Even a digital content director has been created in the midst of this season of What Are Friends For? And I would like to pat ourselves on the back a little bit, because mad props. Listen to the end, our outro of who we're talking about, because we could go on and on and on, hours and hours, about all of these people. And we're just so grateful for every single one of them. And then finally, we're so grateful for our listeners and our viewers, for all the reviews and all of the subscriptions and just like showing up. I was thinking about in the car today, like I have 3 all-star supporters in my head who have like really have been so enthusiastic and been so caring to share and repost, like all-star supporters. And mm-hmm. I would like to give a shout out to them. If that's
go
okay.
for it. Yeah.
First of all, Kat Hennessy.
Yes. Like seriously, like she's one of our dearest friends. And honestly, she's always the first in our friend group to like raise her hand and be like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll come. I'll write a comment. I'll, you know, send you a message. Like she literally is like such A++ superstar friend.
The other person I would like to say is our lovely Harriet at Rachel Does Too Much Stuff. She is in the United Kingdom and she is the most enthusiastic supporter of reposting and just wanting, she like worked hard to find a, like some sort of budget to subscribe to our Patreon account. And I just want to give her a little shove of love because she's the sweetest.
It's truly like literally everything we put out, there's some sort of response or reaction from her. And it kind of, you know, in a way makes me feel like what we're saying, it means what we're saying and what we're doing is resonating with at least one person, and that's mm-hmm. worth it.
I agree. And that leads into my third person, Carly of Rachel Bloomies, because Miss Carly, who is the leader of the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend fan base and the coolest person in reality of real life. And I just want to say it's a lot of things with her when we got started, when she found out, she was like, yes, yes, and yes. And like to be able to get that support from someone that is such an influencer on such a niche market, that is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, to get her support and say, you should come to the show. And I remember she was our first like giveaway ticket ask.
Yeah. She did a giveaway. Mm-hmm.
And what I loved most about it and what impressed me and touched my heart really was that she said in her post, like, first of all, like the show, go follow it, blah, blah, blah. She's like, but then also if you don't make this raffle, you should subscribe because they're doing, you know, you should support all these people and all the people that you love, maybe on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and their new endeavors with their other real-life people and colleagues and friends.
Right.
And I was very impressed with that.
Absolutely. I have, because I agree with all of your shout-outs, I have one major one as well, and it's sort of it's a two-in-one. It's Nikki Menon and Kirtana Sastry at the Chat Room / Brown Girl Magazine, who have also been incredibly supportive of us this season. Yeah, like Nikki and Kirtana, they're the co-hosts of the Chat Room, which I'm a consulting producer on that show, but they also very much try and like they give us a reaction or a repost or some sort of shout out of some sort for everything that we put out. And we've gotten a couple of write-ups and we did an Instagram live via Brown Girl Magazine. They shouted us out on their Instagram, like on the grid. And they're just a very influential place for women of color. And I just mm-hmm. really appreciate that we have their support in that way.
And they have featured you and have brought you forward as a mom, a South Asian woman. And mm-hmm. I have to say, never growing up in South Texas with any South Asian people and knowing you, I didn't really know that deep part of your life until working with you.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of you for making that a torch in your life through producing and through creating content that, honey, you're making like money too. Like, you know, Tanya Serrato, like if we're going to make TV shows about Latinx culture, I have to be in the room. I have to write it. And you are the writer of these stories and they're real stories. And I'm sure you're, you know, dabbling in like fictional stories and whatnot, but I just have to say, I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. You know, I think it's also part of, speaking of friendship, you know, I think making recognizing that I've mostly been afraid of those types of relationships and then also wanting to remedy them has been a big reckoning for me in the last like couple of years. And I think we talked about this on Gloria's episode, like how, you know, we've just been so programmed to compete against one another. So if we can change that narrative, I just really didn't want that to be my story anymore. And also now I'm the mom of a South Asian girl. So like, I don't want her that to be her story. So I need to model some good behavior and like, you know, bring that part, bring that celebration of one's identity into our tribe as well, into the people around her and all those things. And, you know, I think in the last couple of years that we've lived in LA, I take a look at our entire group. First of all, I love that you know most of my South Asian friends too. That's also like new for me that I'm making the worlds collide in that way.
Oh, that's right? Fabulous. That's good to know. I love that.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, I used to keep them separate. It was very much like a dual life, but I think, you know, having everybody sort of going in and out of each other's lives and us all going into each other's houses and just inviting things to each other and not thinking like, oh, that person may not vibe. No, just have everybody come. Like, you know, that's what I think this whole year has been about in a way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're deep into our first segment.
Insta friends or reality.
Because we have definitely name dropped so many Instagram handles that you guys should be following, which is Rachel Bloomies, which is Rachel Does Too Much Stuff, Brown Girl Mag, The Chat Room, C-H-A-A-T.
And also Kat, because she has a wonderful page where she's very much an advocate and she's got a great page herself. And, you know, her aesthetic is gorgeous and she puts out beautifully empowering things on her page as well.
Yes. And that's K-A-T, Kat Hennessy. And I think we'll finish with a kind of overall look on our Instagram of WAFF Podcast, W-A-F-F Podcast. If you're not following it, please do. That would mean a whole lot. We would really appreciate it because we've worked so hard on it.
Yes. And you will be joining over 1,000 other people who now follow us on the Instagram because we worked for those 1,000 follows and we are really grateful for all of them, each and every one of them. So each one that we get, you know, man, like you guys have no idea. The hustle and the struggle is so real when you build a show.
Yes. And we also would love we've done a voice message situation that is on our website, but if you want to leave us a DM with a question or tell us what our friends for answer is, we're always checking it. Like 3 to 5 people have that password on our team. And we go to our like direct messages, but also our requested ones. And we just love the engagement and we love supporting any friend-centric entity that is uplifting and provocative in the platonic love genre that, you know, send it to us, just like do the little like paper airplane and just send it to WAFF Podcast because we will repost it. We love doing that kind of stuff.
Right. For sure. And, you know, speaking of provocative things, you know, like we really went in stages, I think, with all of the provocative things that we covered. And you would think that like we were, the way that we went through those topics, it's like, are we a current events podcast? But no, we actually are very much a relationship and friendship podcast.
Yes.
Because those are the conversations that we were having with our people.
Yes.
Right. And it started with, you know, us starting the show in this pandemic, and the pandemic is still happening. We're still in it. Now I think when we first put out our first episode, the New York Times had just put out that article of 100,000 names that their lives had been lost. And now we just hit a 250,000 people that have lost their lives to this pandemic. And it becomes close. It's been getting closer and closer to home, which is why we talked about it.
Yes. It's right. Yeah. It has gotten closer to home. And the fact that we started in pandemia conflict and we've ended it with it being close to home between you and me is just what a cherry of 2020, Paula V.
Right. She's referring to the fact that as of this week, I am finally 100% recovered from my own battle struggle with COVID-19, which clearly is the closest to home that it can get. So not only did I have it, the contact tracing, we were very, very responsible. Our half of our friend group got it. Mm-hmm. And my husband then got it. And my mom, who's living with us, got it. And my one-year-old also got it. And it was scary. It was frustrating. I was on edge, but also exhausted at the same time. And, you know, my friends, just you included, Gabrielle, like you guys just, I mean, I think we got checked in on so much, and it was good to know that we were like, you know, that you guys had us in that way. Thankfully, so, so thankfully, there were no complications, and we were able to let it run its course through our bodies, and we're okay now. But honestly, I think it was the most uncertain, like the most life or death thing that I'd ever thought about.
Wow.
For myself.
Especially in this level of being a mother too.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, my mother said roller coasters changed for her after she had kids, but I'm sure COVID is a lot more intense.
Yeah, you know, and this is coming from people who we were really responsible, weren't we? I mean,
can I interrupt with saying that if you are a Patreon subscriber, which is on patreon.com/waffpodcast, you will see an episode of Paula V and I, our only episode in person in the amazing tropical desert of Palm Springs. 4 days before Paula V was exposed. I was not at that dinner where the exposure was happening. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to also meet with some of those friends 2 days after Paula V's exposure. And I just missed out on this moment. And so you'll see us, Paula V and I, be like, we're in our quarantine group. We're fine. We can actually do an episode together. It was so exciting. And then bam.
Yeah. And you know, the exposure happening, and but if anybody is questioning how real this stuff is and how much we should be paying attention to the science of it all, it's like, you know, you might be the most careful person like we have been. And all it takes is somebody that you don't know to expose it to one of your people. And that's what happened here. It's like, it's not that our friends were being irresponsible. It's that whoever they were around, who they happened to be around,
that are not in their deepest trust circle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where the exposure came from.
Right.
And so at that point, it's just very humbling to be like, wow, like none of us are, for lack of a better word, immune.
Invisible.
We're not invincible to this. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm really grateful that we were able to get through it without any complications.
Yeah. For Philip and myself, it shook us to the core of the fact that you all are our home here. And I've always mentioned that before. So I'm pretty sure a lot of us are going to take the holidays a step back. It's going to be nostalgic to just remember how it was. But at the same time, it's going to be okay. We can just make our own turkey, or we can make our own holiday stuff and just like ride it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay home. If you're going to go outside, please wear a mask. Please be careful. I think, you know, let's be grateful for a Zoom Thanksgiving rather than resentful of it.
Because we have it. We have that ability. We had the ability to Zoom and record on virtual this entire season of WAF. We can do the holidays that way too.
Gabrielle, can you believe it is the end of 2020?
Ugh, and it's been a doozy, Paula V. Ups and downs, and then even more downs. But we at What Are Friends For like to take all of those feelings and turn them into meaningful conversations that focus on growth, love, and joy.
That's right. And the most joyful thing we look forward to every month are our live shows on Patreon.
Hey, Patreon. Our monthly live shows are exclusively available on 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 different tiers on our Patreon page. And those tiers start as low as $2 a month.
And the content and the perks just keep getting better with each tier. But this guest lineup for the rest of 2020 is fierce.
OMG, fierce.com. We've got Wicked's longest running Alphaba, Jackie Burns in October, Emmy Award nominee Janet Varney in November, and a grand finale in December with my OG hashtag girl group forever squad from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That's right, Donalyn Chaplin, Vella Lavelle, and Rachel Bloom will join us for my birthday group hang.
I am so lit already. It's going to be so much fun. So if you guys want to get in on the action, visit www.patreon.com/waffpodcast. That's W-A-F-F podcast. Between the vodcasts, the podcasts, and the live shows, there are just about a bajillion ways for you to get a dose of WAF.
Yeah, and the sooner you join, the sooner you can watch, because you not only get to join the live shows live, they're also available for you to watch forever. So if you miss it, binge it later.
Slay. Once again, all that action is at www.patreon.com/WAFpodcast. We are so grateful to you, WAF fam, for keeping this show going. Couldn't do it without you.
Now back to WAF.
So what was most exciting about us getting ready for this episode is that we didn't really have to like take a bunch of notes. First of all, none of this that we've talked about so far has really been like written down, which
no,
I love.
We didn't write any of
that
down. No.
But we were really excited about this episode because all of you listeners are going to be part of it. And we asked you to go on to our website and leave us a old school voicemail, because you can do that. You can still do that. Even though the season is over, we will still be collecting voicemails forever and ever, because you never know when we're going to be able to bring those back around and play them. But we're going to be playing some voicemails from you listeners out there and responding to them for the rest of this episode.
So thank you, everybody, going to waffpodcast.com and finding Leave a Voice Message. It's still there.
That's right.
And we will answer them even after our season is over in our hiatus.
That's right. Yes. So shall we play the first one, Eva?
Hi. I cannot express how thankful I am for this podcast. It has really been a beautiful company during the lockdown. I want to thank Gabriela and Pallavi for it and all the amazing guests. I would love to see people from the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend cast on it, but overall, it is amazing and I love it, and I hope you continue to do this amazing thing you're doing for all of us, and I love you all so, so much.
V, we love you too!
That is so sweet.
This is V at Rebetzels_111. We cannot express how thankful we are for you for loving our show and supporting our show. But girl, listen, if you listen to the show, Danny Jollis was on.
That's right. We had him on with a buddy of his. It was like a guys and girls episode.
It was like a bruh episode, and it's hysterical.
And also, Gabrielle, we might spill some more tea here. We asked some people in our circle, in your circle, to come on to the show, and we got some no's.
We got some no thank yous from some of the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend fam bam. I am not throwing shade. I am throwing recognition.
Maybe a little bit of shade.
No, I am just throwing the reality, because we are an Insta Friends and Reality kind of show.
Right.
That I still am really good friends with these people, even when they're like, this is not my vibe. And I was like, oh, but this is like friends. However, I did say in the text explanation that we go into vulnerable conversations
right.
about platonic love. And some people were like, I think it's
no
a pass. Yeah. And I was like, okay. I mean, I disagree. I mean, of course I would disagree. I'm doing this show. I'm co-hosting the show, but it was like, huh, I didn't know that about you. And no problem. I'll still like, you know, I'll show up on the Zoom hangouts and whatnot and never have to bring it up. But I just thought that was fascinating.
It is fascinating when, because you would think that people, like, because you thought of these people based on the fact that they are good friends with each other, to other people.
I admire their friendship dynamics with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then you ask them, hey, will you open up a little bit and talk about why you're so successful at this? And that feels very naked for people. And they're like, no, thanks. That's for me, not for you. Oh.
You were like, oh my God. And also, like, you do think about our title of our show, What Are Friends For? And of right. course you go into this like song that makes exactly that, that is the title of this. That's what friends are. We were not able to purchase it. We're sorry. That's not our theme song. Although Joey Sherman is a fantastic lyricist and writer of music. And I'm so glad that she is our voice in our theme music. And, we dive deep into that title. And I love that that's a parallel of what Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is all about, that the situation is so much more nuanced than this.
Yes, it's very much so. Oh, it's as much as I would have loved a yes, I'm also very intrigued, and it's very provocative that we got the no, right? Because we're talking about it still.
We're still talking about it and still, but also recognizing, and what I love about the show is we recognize that friendship is deep,
mm-hmm.
period.
Right.
Talking about friendship is frightening when you dive deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me, as a recovering friend skeptic, had to work on that and allow myself to open up, which is why I'm grateful that V asked that question and asked about it, because it really brings up the point of what we're really doing here on What Are Friends For?
That's right.
But also, V, I want to let you know that I hope you're a Patreon subscriber, because we are still having an amazing cast reunion with some Crazy Ex people that said yes.
Yes, for sure. It's like a whole girlfriend hang. So, and we've announced it already, so it's not a secret. But yeah, it'll be for Gabrielle's birthday.
On December 12th, we're having a birthday hurrah with Donalyn Chaplin, Bella Lavelle, and also Rachel Bloom, our darling. We're all going to talk about her book. We're going to talk about my birthday. I have a great, huge What's Happening Next for Me announcement. It's only for our Patreon subscribers, and it's our live show. You don't have to be there live. You can watch it later if you are a live show subscriber.
Yes, patreon.com/WAFPodcast.
WAF Podcast, and you'll see live show little options. And you can come to our show. Come to my birthday party.
Yay. Okay. I'm ready for another message. Let's play them.
Hello. My name's Kayla, and I was just asking for advice on how you guys maintain long-distance friendships, whether it's friendships from your childhood or if you've just moved away from these friends and you're a bit nervous to reach out because it's been so long. Thank you. Love the podcast.
Oh my gosh. I didn't think anybody was going to leave us a voice message.
Speaking of which, we felt like we were pulling at teeth, right? We posted so many times. We were like, did anyone leave a voice message?
Does anybody like me? Kayla, thank you for leaving us a voice message. You sound so nice.
Yes. Thank you for the question too. And I think honestly, like, this is the whole reason the show was born anyway. It was an experiment to see if we could keep in touch with people, even if we weren't near them. I would say the thing that's worked best for me is, because we have the luxury of having like so many different types of communication, whether it be text message, the phone, Marco Polo, Zoom, FaceTime,
TikTok.
Yeah, any of those things, is that if you're thinking about somebody, there's a way to let them know you're thinking about them.
Yes.
And it can be as small as a text message or as big as picking up the phone and leaving them a voicemail like you did
or talking to them for 2 hours that you only meant to be 2 minutes hello. And then you're like, you know what? I haven't. And then the 2 hours just like literally fly by so quickly.
Right. And so honestly, like for me, sometimes whenever we all get frustrated that we're not available or somebody else hasn't been available. But at the end of the day, like, you know, even like the smallest thumbs up from somebody is a signal that you're still part of their psyche. You're still part of what they're thinking about. Right.
Yes.
And so to me, I like to see I like to take the wins in every situation when it comes to my friendships.
You know, Kayla, I want to also say that for me, work makes me happy. And I found that about myself. So if there's something that makes you happy, if it's writing or if it's discussing or if it's having a glass of wine with relaxing, whatever makes you happy, like let's get basic here, right? Mm-hmm. I know work makes me happy. And I realized after my 20s were over that I was not working at my friendships. And so I was trying to do friendships in ways that other people liked doing friendships, whether it was like, let's go to Central Park and like have lunch. I didn't have time for that. Let's go swim with the dolphins in between shows. I'm too tired for that. You know? And so I had to work in a way. I had to put it in my calendar. I had to put it in my schedule. And then also be vulnerable and open. So what I did, instead of being paranoid about like, what do we talk about? Just ask questions. Just ask more questions. You have 2 ears and one mouth. And then when you catch up to someone and you don't know what to talk about because it's been such a long time, ask them how you're doing. Ask them how they're doing. Check on their Instagram and go through their feed and be like, I saw that this happened. How did that go?
Right. Yes. I think Insta Friends of Reality has become a really great tool in our real lives. You know, like yes. I think, you know, instead of just observing what people are posting and just taking it at face value, use it as a way to open up a conversation. Yes. And, you know, and also, you know, going off of what you just said, Gabrielle, is like you knew that you needed to schedule your time with your people and for yourself into your calendar. And not everybody's going to vibe with that.
Yes.
And that also has to be okay.
Exactly.
And those people don't get that about you, which means they may not be your closest people, and that's okay.
Yes, Harvey Guillen had a great explanation in his special episode with us when he was our guest friend about the friendship tier cake. And there is space for everybody. There's just different levels. And when you accept that about yourself and when you accept that about your friends, there are definitely healthier friendships that can come from that.
That's right.
Kayla, you're so sweet. Thank you for leaving us a voice message. We're ready for the next one. Eva.
All right. So Eva, let's play this next message from Samantha, it looks like.
Has this COVID-19 pandemic caused any tension between you and your friends or other important people in your lives? And how have you dealt with that tension or been able to balance the safety, but also maintaining relationships with the people that you care about?
By the way, I just want to say, when we say Eva, Eva's a real person. We want to introduce her just like vocally right now, but she is our all-star lead production assistant. She is actually, it's not like she, Eva's not a Dear Abby. She's a real person. So I just want to say thank you, Eva, for being here and pressing play for all of our listeners that left a voice message. So when it comes to Samantha.
Yes. This question is, again, we just talked about how COVID-19 really hit home for us and how the exposure for me came from our friend group. And, you know, we don't throw shade here, so I'm not going to name names, but I actually, Gabrielle, I texted the friend that the exposure happened with this morning, because throughout this last 3.5 weeks of really dealing with it, I'm not going to lie, I was really overwhelmed and also frustrated that this had happened because I had been so careful. And it felt like the one time that I chose to go out and hang out with my friends, I was disappointed. And I didn't want to take it out on them. It's not, that's not the kind of person or friend that I am. I don't get heated with people. I don't yell at people. I don't enjoy getting to a place where like I have to confront people. So I needed to like get through. And also I was just like physically not all there. So
you just didn't feel good.
I didn't feel good. And so and also that person had it. So like there was no reason for us to argue about how this happened, why it happened, you know, in any way, because we just needed to recover. And so this morning I really made it a point because I thought about it and I was like, and I'm not mad at them. You know, I was just frustrated and overwhelmed by the situation that I was in.
Absolutely.
With having a sick family. But I went out of my way to text them this morning And I'm more than happy to share that on the show since the question was asked. And I wrote, I just wanted you to know that I love you and I'm not mad at you. I was just really overwhelmed that of having my entire family sick at the same time and worrying about my mom getting it since she is older and higher risk. So I didn't communicate with you much through all of that frustration. And they wrote back and the message was, I am literally crying right now. I understand and thank you so much for sending this text. I love you and I'm so sorry for this whole nightmare and I'm grateful that it passed.
What a good ending to this terrible chapter.
Yeah. So to answer your question, Samantha, you know, I think perspective is important. I think everybody is trying their best. And I think when we slip, I'm going to put that in quotes, because we didn't really slip in this situation. We thought that we were doing everything right. So we decided to go out into public for the first time. And that was the time that we got exposed. So I think perspective of everybody's really trying to do their best within, at least within my group of friends, our group of friends. You know, I think for those who are, you know, still denying the science and not wearing masks and really refusing to and saying that it's their patriotic right to do so, that's completely being harmful to other people. That's not what we're talking about here. I think what we're talking about is like, we're all doing our best in terms of keeping each other safe. And it's not their fault that they got sick and that they didn't know that they got me sick.
The blessing of it and the miracle is that it didn't get worse. Mm-hmm. And you had to come to terms with during the situation that it could have gotten worse. Like it has gotten worse for many, many, many people in this world. So the fact that this friend gave you that space, even in fear of losing a friendship or changing your friendship dynamic, really putting a compromise and a stress on it, because it's not that you all disagreed on what COVID-19 is. It's mm-hmm. not that there was any sort of argument about what's right and what's wrong. It was definitely just the blind victim of an awful, awful circumstance that many, many Americans are going through. And I'm so glad that not only both of you recovered, but that your friendship was strong enough to recover as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes work, Sam. You know, it takes, if you go by Sam, it's a lot of work.
Well, that was a lot.
Eva, hit us with the next VM.
Weirdly, this one's from Eva.
Hey guys, I was wondering if you guys have any experience with being stuck in a toxic friendship. And if you have, how did you either fix that friendship or have a conversation and maybe cut that friend out of your life? How'd you deal with it? Thanks. Love the pod. Bye.
Oh my gosh. This is actually from Eva, like the real person, the real all-star production assistant. Eva, I'm so glad that you left a VM. You really, really do like working with us. I just have to say I'm flattered. I have a great answer for this.
Great. You go first and then I'll go second.
This also works in toxic, like romantic relationships. And I use this in my toxic friendships. I am not a victim. I choose not to be a victim. I decide I am not a victim. When I start feeling like a victim, it's time to go. It's time to not, and I mean go, like not just drop it, because that is also an option. It's time to change the dynamic. So when friendships get toxic, for me, it can go two ways. Where it's not, your friend is not growing with you in the same way anymore. And I've said this before, it's a shame when your friendships sometimes don't grow up with you. And you let it go and you send blessings and you either send it by a text or a conversation, or if they don't even want to talk about it and you've tried it with open arms to have this conversation, you have to literally forgive and let go. And the other way is change them on the cake tier, on the friendship tier, move them up, move them down. It's okay. There's a lot of space for a lot of things. I have a friend who I don't like how they talk to my husband. They talk down to them and they talk down to him. And it offends me, but I love this human. And I love when we do hang out. Now I make sure that we go to an event, we go to like a concert, or we go to a party together versus having a one-on-one dinner where there's a certain amount of conversation that a person can get into that just never stops and you can't stop them. You don't want to stop them. And I remember feeling like I was becoming frustrated and resentful and it was becoming toxic in my heart. So I changed the dynamic. So I'll end with that, Eva. I choose not to victimize myself and make a change.
Mm. Love that. I think because it also like gives you the power. It gives you the choice to like make the change.
It's your life.
Right.
Change it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think like if there's communication that has been very one-sided when you get to the point where you realize that, it's like, okay, then you can decide. It's like, do I want to change the narrative of this entire relationship? Because yeah. And the answer I hope is yes for most people, because it puts the power in your hands. Mm-hmm. Now for me, you know, one of the things that we really have been very open about on this show this season, which I'm very happy that we've been able to do so, is to talk about the uprising, right? BLM, all of these things. And, yeah. You know, I sort of alluded to this in the episode with Anish, but I wrote a letter to somebody who I was friends with for 15 years and somebody who I considered to be one of my people back in the day, you know, and for whatever reason, or so I thought, the friendship sort of fizzled away. And what I didn't realize is that as I've been going to therapy in the last like couple of years and stuff, all of the things that I've ever, speaking of being a victim, all of the things that I've ever felt like have held me back, or these feelings of self-doubt, these feelings of feeling other, these feelings of feeling like I've been discriminated against. Every time I explore those things, it came back to this one relationship that I had.
Wow.
And that was really hard to take in, because it also implied that I chose to keep that person around, even though they were hurting me the whole time.
So it took a few laps. You had to take a few more laps than maybe you realized you were taking. And it took something to exhaust you to finally recognize no more laps.
That's right. I don't have any more, like, I can't take I don't have the breath to take another lap, you know? And it all came out into me writing a 5-page letter and sending it to this person. And what was hilarious to me is that I was actually ready to close the door on it. I didn't know, like, I was like, this is, I've always wanted to say all of these things to this person. And also I wrote that letter in a way where I could take responsibility for my part in all of it, because that's how I like to do things. I like to, every time I go into any sort of situation where I'm going to debate with somebody or whatever, it's like, here's what I did. Here's mm-hmm. what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. But here's what I didn't realize was happening to me the whole time, and how, what I let you do mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
And so I need you to come to the table and acknowledge that this relationship has been very tumultuous for me and very toxic for me.
Wow. I don't even think I've ever done that. I don't know if I still have the guts to do that. Just so you know, that's yeah.
I mean, I think it took something like this tipping point to put me there. Yeah. It was just a lot. So, and then 20 minutes after I sent it, that person called me.
Who I know also in a very different way. I know professionally, and I would have never thought this person would call you.
Yeah.
This person can be like, well, what it is, what it is. And they walk away and you're just like, wow, that's impressive. They don't have, you know, no, like they just let go of baggage like that. But no, that person called you.
Called me, you know, and I saw it and I literally was like, nope, not answering that.
You're like, I was so ready for this step, but I had no idea this was an option of a step. And I did not mentally prepare for this.
Right. Right. So instead of like old Pallavi, I think would have probably answered the phone. Right. I think I probably would have answered it, because I don't like for people to be mad at me. I don't like confrontation in that way. I like to be a peacemaker. I'm a mama bear. I would have probably picked up the phone and let them defend themselves immediately. But I was like, no, I actually want you to sit with that for a bit.
Slay.
And then I texted them and I said, they texted me because I didn't answer. And they said, I would love to chat with you. Thank you so much for sending me this. And I was just like, how about you call me in a couple of hours? So I literally sat there for a couple of hours and I was like, am I ready to do this? I was coached by another friend who had known that I had done it, like, you know, another mutual friend of ours. And I went into that conversation with all the power in my hands, knowing that it was a toxic relationship that I didn't want to rekindle. I knew I didn't want to rekindle it, which is why I took the time. So Eva, if you know that you're in a toxic relationship, don't feel like you have to solve it right away. Take the time to figure out if you actually want it to still be a thing. If you don't want it to be a thing, like, go into battle mode. For me, like, that conversation was like, I told myself, whatever you do, don't do the talking. Whatever you do, don't put yourself in a position where you are justifying yourself and what you wrote in that letter. Let them do the talking. Let them defend themselves. And if they choose to defend themselves, just say, this letter was not meant for you to redeem yourself. This letter was meant for you to know that you've been hurtful for a long time.
Wow. Again, I still don't have the guts to do this, ladies and gentlemen. I am a pretty strong-willed person, and I'm like shivering in my boots listening to this power coming out of Pallavi.
But let me tell you, like, I didn't go into it because I was trying to remedy the relationship. I just knew that I wanted to be part of the change, and I couldn't be part of the change of this society and the uprising if I wasn't fixing myself.
Amen, sister.
Yeah. And so for me, I was like, okay, you know, if you do want to be a better friend, a better ally, here's what I think you can do. And so I literally parlayed that entire conversation into a year-long program that I'm now doing at my college for diversity and inclusion with all the students.
That is so slay. You guys didn't know Pallavi was slay. She is slay. Oh, you inspire me so much. I love that Eva asked that question. I am so excited that we are at our final question. And this is from Sarah.
Hi, I love your show. I just had a quick question. How do you maintain a strong friendship while also having a serious partner? I've had a lot of really close friends that then get into relationships and they kind of drop our relationship. So, and I see you guys are such great friends. I would love to know your thoughts. Thanks.
Sarah better work leaving us a voicemail while she's like parking her car.
Like driving.
She's like, I'm going to make this happen. I've been wanting to do it all day. And now it's 5 o'clock. I got to leave this VM before I go home and start making dinner. I mean, I'm totally making up Sarah's scenario. I have no idea who to do.
Thank you so much for this question, Sarah. It's so loaded. I actually love that she asked this because it actually is like, you know, something that I think a lot of people struggle with. They struggle with, like, all of a sudden their girlfriends get a boyfriend that they're very serious with and they feel like they don't have the same relationship with them anymore. And I think it's so sad when that happens. Don't mm-hmm. you think?
Mm-hmm. I do. I still watch Sex and the City whenever I'm like really not watching TV and just cleaning or something. And there's so many scenarios in that show about this kind of like serious partner adjacent energy that you feel like you lose a friend.
You know what though? I have to say that if there's something that I'm going to do a humble brag about, I feel like this is something I've been very aware of because I've been married for a long time.
Oh, give us your wise words, Pallavi. What's your 11 years this year?
Yes, we just celebrated 11 years of being married and we've been together for 13 and I've known him for 20. So it's like, you know, in a way, I've really had a lot of practice with this. And early on, I thought that people were not calling me anymore because I was in a serious relationship and nobody else was. Mm. I thought I wasn't being invited out to places because, like, oh, well, she's like married now and like she doesn't want to come out with us. And I thought people were assuming that about me. But what actually ended up being the case is that we just weren't talking to each other. I was assuming that they weren't calling me and they were assuming I didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. So
there you go.
Yeah. So I've always made it a point to really decide when my husband's going to be part of the equation of my life and my affairs and my relationships and my everything, or if it's just for me, right? And I think I've done a pretty damn good job of figuring out that balance. And yes. And it's because I know that my husband and my friends, for that matter, like where they need to be involved in each part of my life. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think there is a lot of benefit to all of the people listening who are in a relationship that, you know, you want to spend a lot of time with your partner and you should. However, your partner can't be your everything. That actually isn't psychologically beneficial to you. I promise you that. Which is why friendships are so important.
And the other side of that coin, in perspective, from like the other point of view of not knowing the inner workings of a relationship between two other people that you're not romantically involved with, you're the platonic dynamic that got shifted without with it being out of your control. Reaching out and make accommodating to a person's schedule, whether that new relationship is in a honeymoon phase or in a troubling phase or if that relationship is also in a toxic phase, like you don't know it, you know, this scenario can go in so many positive and negative ways of why this person has branched away or has separated because of time or space or romance, you know, or dynamics or resent, you know, there could be issues happening in that relationship that you have no idea about. So just being there for that person when they're available, I think, is also a good friend. Mm-hmm. Because friendship, I've learned, is more about giving than needing and giving them that space when they have it or when they ask for it is the best thing that you can do as a friend, with a lot of patience. Because if this is happening for a year, or if this only happens for 2 years and this person comes back around, 2 years is really not a long time in the grand scheme of your whole life. And I think, I really truly believe that friendships can return and can revive. So I just want to also offer that hope, that I also want to offer that advice in a more hopeful way, that if you don't know what's going on in that relationship and you're not there to judge, but if they ask you, what do you think? The best results I've ever gotten is, do you want my advice or do you want me to listen? And right. That can keep you as the friend that's in the platonic relationship out of the triangle out of the way, where you don't need to get involved in a relationship that you're not a part of in a romantic way.
Right. Yeah. But if they do ask you for your advice and you give it, and they're not ready to receive it, that's also a signal to you that you should just let them be and let them figure it out. Let them make their own decisions and don't take it personally that it doesn't involve you.
It doesn't have to be all about you.
Yeah.
Now, Sarah, we're not saying you are making it all about you. We're not saying that, but we're just like really kind of looking at it all angles, your question, because that can go a lot of ways. And it's very specific circumstances for every single relationship. Platonic and romantic, when it's that triangle.
Yeah. And, you know, and one thing she said was, you know, she noticed that we're still close friends, even though we're in committed relationships. And I think that you and I just really draw the line. We really draw the line. And you are very clear that you work really well with your husband. I'm very clear that my husband is not invited at all to any of my affairs. I don't care what he thinks about anything that I do in my work. I might go to him for some counsel if I'm really like struggling with something, like, you know, ethically, or like, hey, how should I start this conversation with this person? But I don't work with him, and you work with your person, right? And now I work with your person.
Yes.
And it's just like knowing that like there's a line between all of, like, knowing that there's boundaries everywhere. Like, boundaries are actually okay and they're healthy.
And also, Sarah, I have only been married for 4 years, and Paulovia and I are around the same age. So I've had my bachelorette life in New York in my 20s. And Philip and I did not move in together before we got married, because we loved our individual bachelorette selves, whether it was our housing, whether it was our furniture, whether it was our waking up and sleeping and the way we brushed our teeth. We were set in our ways. And so people were like, oh my God, like, you guys aren't going to live together. I was like, no. No, I'm going to have to compromise later. I want to compromise later. I don't want to compromise now. And so I'm happy to say that we were able to be individuals still. We are able to be individuals in our marriage, but Pallavi and Hari, thank you for seeing that. But at the same time, for just our 4 years, they are our first double date success, like deep dive double date success. That they are the dependable double date where it's not going to get weird. It's not going to get like, someone's not going to get too drunk. You know, you're not going to get tired of them. They're not going to get annoying. And we've tried it. Like, we've tried a lot of double dates in a way that I would like to say we've all passed. And we both still, all four of us would still like to see each other. Hari just FaceTimed Philip this morning with Sheesh. And like, I just, of course, said hello, but I let them have their moment, you know? And like, bros called each other bros. Like, you know, that's just wonderful. So thank you for recognizing that.
Yes, very much so. And also on the same note, it's like, if somebody is important to your friend, which, you know, when you and Philip got together, I also made it a point to carry conversations with Philip.
Oh,
you know,
thanks. Like, I never knew that.
But that's important, right? Like, if that person is important to your friend and you see that they make them happy, it's not our job to give them our opinion on that person. It's our job as that person's friend to really nurture what they find so lovely about them, right?
Oh, like, thank you. Because also, full disclosure, I didn't like Hari for a long time. Hari and I did not get along, maybe before Philip came into the mix. Maybe it's Philip that balanced us out. But we talked about it before, just disclaimer as well. I just think I get really upset that Hari is faster and funnier than me when his jokes. So I'm not the funniest one in the room when Hari's around, and I finally got over it.
Because it's not all about you, Gabrielle.
Exactly. I had to learn it the hard way, and then finally, We're now amiable and friends. Where I actually asked Pallavi last night, I was like, what does Hari think about this new thing, this new music thing I did for our special episode of our Broadway Princess Parties? And Pallavi was like, I don't care what Hari thinks. I was like, you're right. I don't care. yeah, me too. Uh-huh.
Right. I literally was like, I don't have time to ask him for his opinion. Like,
because Hari is a percussionist. He's an acoustician. I was curious of like what he thought of my sleigh bells. That's a really fun hint.
All right. I think we have a sort of cherry on top message coming up next. And it's sort of a great segue, I think, into
Lightning Wall.
Hi, my name is Alex. And I think that friends are for connection, even in such a trying time as we're all experiencing at the moment. My favorite thing to do with my friends that I can't see in person is to do something virtually to help us connect. So whether that's watching a movie together on Netflix or having a Zoom party or playing games together virtually, all of it is there to help make up for the time that we're kind of missing out in person right now. But I think that with all of our collective efforts to still stay connected, even while we can't see each other physically, that we're going to end up safer and better, and our relationships are going to stay intact, which is the most important part, I think.
You said it, Alex. You said it.
Well, I mean, I think that's a great way for us to sort of tie this up in a bow. So I'm going to ask you, Gabrielle, what are friends for?
Friends are for still creating life together, even when the world feels like it has stopped.
Oh, that's like, you just like, that's like a printed quote that's in a framed canvas that I'm going to put on the wall.
Pallavi, the creator of What Are Friends For, the dreamer who started this whole thing to now close this season, my best friend. What are friends for?
Friends, above all else, are for accountability. In many ways, whether it's holding you accountable to what you said you were gonna do, whether it's reminding you of your goals and your dreams, or it's just sending you a text and being like, you said you were gonna get this done by 10 a.m. So get it done by 10 a.m.
Yes, and with that, I still owe you about two other things I got to do. They were due at noon, and it's almost going to be 4 o'clock, so I'm glad we're wrapping this episode up, because just so you all know, we pre-record really early before we really drop the episode. It's not like a 24-hour turnaround, and we also have so many other events for What Are Friends For, even after the season ends.
Yes, and we've already started booking for season 3, so I hope you guys will stick with us.
Bye.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This episode was produced by Team Access Productions and Fast Nickel Inc. Our supervising producer is Philip Pasanchin. Our consulting producers are Kathleen Cho and Megan Densmore. Our production assistants are Eva Ratcliffe and Bailey Disler. Our podcast artwork is created by Aishwarya Sukesh. Original music is by Joey Sherman, and our digital content director is Susie Cabello. Special thanks to Alex Udome, Samantha Wiener, and Hari Savitala. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening to it now. This helps our show's visibility, and it helps us keep making it for you.
Find us on Instagram and Twitter at WAFF Podcast. That's W-A-F-F Podcast. And to find links to our exclusive vodcasts, attend our virtual live shows, or even leave us a voice message, visit WAFFpodcast.com.
We truly appreciate you all checking in with us online. But you know that friend that you've been like, ugh, I really haven't checked in with them in a while. Go do that.
Yeah, go do that now.